Welcome to Crackers and Milk Podcast. This is your host, David, and I am joined today by Jake. Our subject is going to be about what our favorite movie is and what the best movie we've seen.
The way I like to describe that, sorry, this is Jake talking, is when you watch a movie and it's your favorite, I compare it to liking Cheetos. Because Cheetos are one of my favorite chips. Are they the best chip I've ever had? No. But they are my favorites. The best chips I've ever had are probably restaurant style. But can I name that? No. But I can name a movie that is the best movie I've ever seen. So that is what we are discussing tonight. Our favorite movie and our best movie. Because oftentimes they are not the same thing.
Totally not the same. They may be there for the moment, but then overall it's totally not the same. Totally not the same. Okay, so would you want me to go first, or yeah, would you like to go first? Okay, the best movie I've ever seen, it is The Magnificent Ambersons. This is
Orson
just
Welles.
Orson Welles. This is his second movie. So he did Citizen Kane. Citizen Kane is still one of the greatest movies ever made. But as I watched this movie, 17 years ago. I was 19 when I watched this movie. The first time I watched this movie.
Almost a couple decades ago.
Yes. And watching it, and then thinking about it and reading the book. That's what it was, reading the book. Like, it blows my mind still today. I have the book. I have the movie. This movie blows the mind. And this is just the plot summary of this movie. Says the young, handsome, but somewhat wild Eugene Morgan wants to marry Isabel Amberson, daughter of a rich upper-class family. She instead marries a dull, steady Wilbur Minifer. Their only child, George, grows up a spoiled brat. Years later, Eugene comes back, now a mature widower and a successful automobile maker. After Wilbur dies, Eugene again asks Isabel to marry him. She is receptive, but George resists the attentions paid to his mother. And he and his wacko aunt, Fanny, manage to sabotage the romance. A series of disasters befall the Ambersons and George, and he gets his comeuppance in the end. Dude, like, reading that book, one thing that always stuck out to me was George talking about the technology of the day. The technology of the day was the automobile. Okay. And he always talked about how it was a useless nuisance. And then Eugene goes on this spiel that says, well, if it doesn't help a man spiritually, grow spiritually, then yeah, I agree. The automobile should never have been made. And so,
interesting
to me, you can apply that today. If you can't come closer to anything, or if you can't become a better person with something, then does it really need to be invented? Should we use it? Like, is it really helping you? And I feel you should take that into consideration and see what this technology or whatever it is, does it help you become a better person? Does it help you gain wisdom?
Okay.
That sort of thing. And so that's like some of the reason why I think it's the best movie. And doing some research about it, people have said when around that time, Citizen Kane is one of the greatest movies ever made. That's what people say. They have said because of what happened after Citizen Kane with Hearst blackballing Orson Welles, that the Ambersons failed because of what Citizen Kane was. And so, because of that, Orson was gone, and so it was a studio cut instead of his cut.
Okay.
And watching that movie, reading the book, and seeing like how great it was already just because of the cut that they did, man, still I feel that's a better movie than Citizen Kane. I just can't get past that. Okay. I can never get past that. That's why it's the best movie I've ever seen.
All right. So the best movie I've ever seen is Citizen Kane. Now, I've never seen The Magnificent Ambersons, so I can't comment on that. But so I had to watch Citizen Kane in film class when I was in school.
Okay.
And I had heard about it before, but I wasn't really expecting anything. And to this day, I can still see parts of the movie here that hears certain sounds from the movie. Just everything about it. Here, let me read the plot summary.
Okay.
When a reporter is assigned to decipher newspaper magnate Charles Foster Kane's dying words, his investigation gradually reveals the fascinating portrait of a complex man who rose from obscurity to staggering heights. Through Kane's friends and colleague, Jebediah Leland, and his mistress, Susan Alexander, shed fragments of light on Kane's life. The reporter fears he may never penetrate the mystery of the elusive man's final word, Rosebud. Now, everybody knows that it was the sled and everything, and everybody thinks it's a big giant plot hole that if those were his dying words, nobody's in the house. The butler obviously heard it, okay?
Yeah.
As I was describing to you why I liked it and thought about it, the scenes that stand out to me is there's one particular scene after a party where he's arguing with his then wife. I forget if it was his first or second one. And they're in this like tent thing. And there's this horrific woman screaming.
Yeah.
And it's never explained or anything. Later in the film, there's a shift from one scene to another with a parrot screeching.
Oh.
It's so strange. I still hear that stupid bird.
Is it the connection between those two? Like, that's what you're supposed to do, is the connection between those.
Yeah. They're never explained. Why did that woman scream the way she did? Why did that bird screech? Uh-huh. I mean, and then you get quotes like this. "Sure, we're speaking, Jebediah. You're fired." And I like the portrait of the man of the time.
Yeah.
So like you were based on Hearst.
Yeah.
Imagine guys like that today. We've got guys like that today. We just don't know them.
Like guys like Charles Foster Kane.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We totally have them. Like, yeah.
So it's just a fascinating character study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how he, Because I've watched that a few times, and it's one tough movie to get through because I know how like it's slow, but I know that it's a good one, and I know who it's based off, and it's just so interesting that how powerful the newspaper was back then. Yeah.
Well, like he says, I run a couple of newspapers. What do you do?
And you can apply it to today, like Hollywood or anything else, like anything big, one person that's big enough, like can sway the market, like Steve Jobs did it.
Yeah.
Bill Gates kind of does it. He's not as powerful as...
I think President Trump did it.
Yeah. How he won the election, right? Yeah. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He swayed people like what he thought, like with the whole fake news stuff. Like that, it wasn't a big thing before. No. But when he comes in as the elector, trying to be elected, it's like, oh, that's fake news, and everybody uses it now. Oh, yeah. It's fake news. It's like what?
Yeah. So that's just some of the reasons why I think Citizen Kane is the best movie I've ever seen.
I can see that.
I mean, it was almost going to be North by Northwest, but
it's wait—is that with Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah.
Oh, and that's Alfred Hitchcock, right?
Yeah. It was almost We were almost going to be talking about that, but
yeah, I wouldn't even know about that one.
Oh, that's an awesome movie. But
anyway. I'm not surprised that it's an awesome movie. And is that one because of your class, or is that one just because you watched it and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing?
I've just seen it. I didn't watch it in class.
Oh, okay.
We watched Psycho in class, but
I watched Psycho with the description, like, for deaf people. No, blind people. And it was interesting, but it was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That they had that. I didn't know that they had that a long time ago.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Okay, now our favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You go ahead and go first.
Okay. this is a really silly movie, but there's so many plot holes, or there's so many holes about it, and it's a comedy, but it's so, I watched it when I was a kid, and then I remembered it when I was in my early 20s, and then I always fascinate about this movie and the rules behind it, but
well,
it's called...
So, just to make a point, I think your favorite movie has to come from when you were a kid. So
it has to come from when you were a kid? Really?
I don't know. It's just mine does.
Well, yours does, yeah. But like, I mean, I have a lot of great movies that I would rewatch, but I wouldn't say that any of them are my favorite. Like, I could say like Lion King would be one of the greatest movies I've ever seen because of I went to a dollar theater, and those are never sold out. But Lion King was sold out. That's the only time I've ever seen a dollar theater sold out is in Lion King. So, like, I could say that's the greatest, but, like, in my mind, it's like I can't really say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's tough. Like, plus I also think in my early 20s I was more a teenager mentally.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not really, like, I'm not holding myself to having a kid thing.
Well, I'm just saying being a kid.
Being a kid, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, sorry to take us off the rails for a second.
Okay. Brewster's Millions. So great.
That's been a long time since I've seen Brewster's Millions.
Yeah.
I remember Brewster's being Millions. Very funny.
It's funny.
Richard Pryor, funny. John Candy.
Rick Moranis is in it. Small bit part, yeah. But he's in it. I like it. And here's the synopsis or the summary. Montgomery Monty Brewster is a failed baseball player currently playing for the Hackensack Bulls, a minor league team based in New Jersey. Along with his teammate, best friend Spike Nolan, who is played by John Candy, Monty seems to have to make more headlines off the field than on it. However, Monty's life is changed overnight when he learns that a wealthy, long-lost uncle had passed away and left him $300 million in his will. But to gain access to his inheritance and to teach him the value of money, he must first spend $30 million in just 30 days. Sounds fairly easy, but there is a number of rules that he must follow. Firstly, he can't tell anyone about the challenge. Secondly, by the end of the 30 days, he mustn't own any assets. And thirdly, he cannot destroy or give away any items that are inherently valuable. Can Monty rise to the challenge? Well, he's going to have a lot of fun finding out. That's on whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, like each time I watch it, it's like, wait a minute. How would you spend $30 million? And would $30 million be too much today or too little today? So you'd have to bump it up to, like, let's say, in order to inherit $1 billion, you have to spend, I don't know, like $100 million a month? That would be so difficult. But at the same time, like, you look at how he did it. Like, he rented a place, which is pretty easy, but it's like a month thing. And then he paid interest on his money. So he lost some money that way. But then, so he gets down to, he loses $10 million, But then Spike, his best friend, gets him back that $10 million, and it's like he goes crazy. It's like, what? I got to start all over again.
I remember that scene.
Yeah,
I remember that scene. The scenes that stand out to me are the opening scene, and they're playing baseball.
Yeah,
and the train goes through the outfield, and they have to pause play because of that. And at the end, he pays the lawyer who's been with him the whole time.
So her boyfriend kept $30,000 without him knowing, gives it to him because Brewster's going up to say, well, I won, but he gave him $30,000 and then he wasn't able to. And he's like, he comes in, he's like, hey, I lost. And he hit the guy who did it. He tried to settle out of court. No. And then she's like, oh, I could be I'll be your retainer. And so she charged him $30,000. That's how he got it. And it was just by like a second.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. That's a good movie to choose.
Yeah. No, it's been fun to always think about it. Like, okay, how would you do it? Because you can't tell anybody. You can't tell your best friend. You can't tell, couldn't tell Spike. And he couldn't say, don't make any things. And then he goes through a political campaign. He calls them rats. He settles. But then he goes and he's like, don't vote, don't vote, don't vote. And then at the end, everybody's voting for him because he doesn't want them to vote for him. And the guy says, well, you're going to win it. So that's $60,000. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that. So he withdraws, but he throws a party and everybody's feeling bad for him. And they raise money. And I don't know. It's just so interesting. And the reason that the uncle does that whole thing was his dad caught him smoking cigars and his dad locked him in a closet and said, you can't come out until you smoke all these cigars. And that's the whole thing, is like, he wanted him to get so sick of spending money that he would never spend money again.
Yeah.
And that, like, to me, that's so fascinating of the psyche and like how you could do that. And like, everybody has had that where it's like, I'm so sick of X. I can't eat it anymore. Like, let's say you throw up something. Like, I've never been able to eat animal crackers because when I was a kid, I threw up animal crackers. And I just can't eat them anymore because it's like, man, there's no interest in it. And so it's kind of like that, in that psyche of, okay, you're going to get so sick of this, so sick of it.
So what you're saying is a lot of young people today should watch that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it will teach you a lot of stuff about who you are as a person. But at the same time, it's funny. Richard Pryor is a funny guy. Yes, John Candy's pretty funny.
Yes, they were.
And so that was a really good combo. Those two were a really good combo. I think that was just their one movie, or maybe they did a couple together, but I know.
That's the only one I know of.
Yeah.
I know Richard Pryor did a lot of movies with Gene Wilder.
Oh yeah, he did. He did. And I think Richard Pryor is a funny guy. And so that's why I'm okay with that. Like, I hope that they don't remake it, but then at the same time,
I don't know how you could remake that.
Yeah, like the $30 million in 30 days, like now it would seem easier because of inflation and all that stuff. Like, it would be realistic, but you'd have to have a bigger number to do that. And I don't know if we could do that because of the time, our times where we live in a time of excess.
Yeah.
And
it just
wouldn't be a good remake. Like,
yeah. No. Well, Hollywood just needs to stop remaking stuff.
They need to come up with some original ideas. But Brewster Millions was a book that was written in the 1800s or like early 1900s.
Well, so?
Well, I know, but like, you know, that was not a totally original idea. But at the same time, like, for me, sometimes I don't think I think everything is, like, there's a theory in English. There's two theories in English where there's more to be created. There's more can be created and come out. But, and then there's another one where it's like all of it's been recreated and it's just a regurgitation of everything.
Right.
And I'm more of the latter. I think it's more of a regurgitation of everything where you're not going to have very many originals anymore.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but when we were alive in the late 90s, there was all those teen movies that were just riffs on William Shakespeare and like 10 Things I Hated About You, Taming of the Shrew. Yeah. Now, I know it's not William Shakespeare, but She's All That. That was My Fair Lady.
Yeah.
That's all it was. And when you were watching it, did it matter that that's what it was based on? Now, granted, but like that Ben-Hur remake. And no, you don't do that.
No. Like, I think the last, because of the original Ben-Hur and the second Ben, and the latest one, like, it's nice to see that there was a reconciliation a little, but at the same time, like, that was probably pretty powerful back then in the 60s and 70s when they did that.
Well, you know that the Charlton Heston one was a remake of one from the 30s.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Jeez. See, I'm not, like, massively surprised by that.
But, yeah, so don't remake Brewster's Millions is what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah, please don't remake that one. Because it's just a great movie.
All right. So my favorite movie that I've ever seen and will sit down and watch anytime it's on is The Empire Strikes Back.
Third one. Sixth one. Well, no, the fifth one.
Technically, it's the second one.
Yes, technically it's the second one, but how George yes. Lucas redid it's the fifth one.
Mm-hmm. Episode 5.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, why?
Oh. All right. The adventure continues in the Star Wars sequel. Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Princess Leia, and Chewbacca face attack by the Imperial forces and its AT-AT walkers on the ice planet Hoth. While Han and Leia escape in the Millennium Falcon, Luke travels to Dagobah in search of Yoda. Only with the Jedi Master's help will Luke survive when the dark side of the Force beckons him into the ultimate duel with Darth Vader. I'm a nerd of the first degree, okay?
I just like how you're reading it, man.
I love that. When Han has to cut open that tauntaun and shove Luke inside. Everybody knows the quote when Princess Leia goes, "I love you, I know."
Yeah.
And then Yoda's famous "do or do not, there is no try."
Yeah.
But the often misquoted, "no, I am your father."
Yeah, because everybody says, "Luke, I am your father."
But that's not what he says. He says, "No, I am your father."
That was like, to me, that one is like one of the harder ones to watch in that whole series. And I don't know why. It's always been hard. For me, it's been hard.
I don't know. You got, Lando Calrissian's introduced, and Billy Dee Williams was just so smooth playing him.
Oh yeah.
You could forgive him for betraying Han because of how smooth he was.
Oh yeah,
but
you totally do that.
The lightsaber battle between Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader at the end.
Do you think that's one of the better lightsaber battles in the Star Wars series?
So,
out of the canon ones, so 1 through 8,
I would rate it third.
Okay. Well, ones are higher above. You don't have to go on. You could just name them.
So the ones that are above are Episode 1.
Okay.
Darth Maul.
And that's number 1. Darth Maul and
I don't know.
Qui-Gon, Wynn, and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. And I'd say the one from The Last Jedi with Rey and Kylo Voss fighting the Imperial.
Mm, yeah, that's a good one.
So
that's a good
I'd say those are above. You could put the Darth Vader in Rogue One when he's.
But that's not canon. We're not canon. We're doing canon. That one's awesome.
That is canon. It's just not part of the main story. It's a side story. But he doesn't fight anybody with a lightsaber.
He just lays waste to everybody, which is the awesome one.
I would say number 4 is the Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah, with when Luke, like, at the end. Yeah. Okay.
And with the Han Solo flying through the asteroid field, don't tell me the odds! I probably misquoted that. I don't remember. But
it was something like that.
Yeah, and then Boba Fett, you know, chasing him down, figuring out where he went. It's just an awesome movie.
Yeah,
I will watch that if there's 5 minutes left.
Well, like
if I'm flipping through the channels and I'm like, "Oh, Empire Strikes Back." Oh, there's only 5 minutes left. All right, I'll watch it.
I could see that. I could see that. Yeah, it's a good movie. It's always been the harder one. Like Return of the Jedi is always the easier one for me to do that one. I love Return of the
Jedi.
Yeah.
That, but it's just not. For me, my favorite is The Empire Strikes Back.
Like, is it with those things, is it also that big reveal and the history behind that big reveal that it makes it like one of your like your favorite to watch all time?
Maybe. So, my dad really loved movies.
Yeah.
He would misquote that line all the time. So it's from when I was a kid, like I was explaining, the movie, your favorite movie probably is going to come from when you're a kid because of the nostalgia feel for it.
Yeah.
And of the original three, it is by far the best one.
Yeah.
I mean, That opening scene on Hoth with the AT-ATs coming and the snow speeders and all of that.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, so that is my favorite movie of all time.
That's not bad, dude. That's pretty good. I like all four of ours.
Yeah.
We've seen like when you say it with kids, I remember having Brewster's Millions when I was a kid or watching it when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where, like, why I'm able to just watch it still. Because it's like, man, I like it that much.
Yeah.
And another one, like, another thing that came up to my mind, like, it was on the table. It was on the table because I look forward to watching this movie every year, was Howard the Duck. Because it would come on Fox.
Howard the Duck?
Howard the Duck. It came on Fox every year. And I was always, like, that stuff would fascinate me, like, oh, that you're coming from another planet. It's another whole society. And so it's like, oh, it's kind of cool.
First Marvel movie ever. But
yeah, and I watched it recently because I haven't. And it's like, why would I like this movie when I was a kid? Because it is so weird. And I wouldn't be surprised if they ever remade it or made it.
Oh.
But it'd have to be like minor characters from whatever, but yeah. Howard the Duck was on the table for me.
The one that was on the table for me was Labyrinth.
Oh, with David Bowie and Jennifer Connelly.
Because
is it Connelly?
Yeah. The 14-year-old in me still laughs like hilariously at the Bog of Eternal Stench when they're running over the stones and it's just making fart sounds. I love that. The songs?
Yeah.
I mean, if it was just based on songs, I'd have to say either Labyrinth or The Little Mermaid, but it's not based on songs.
Yeah, it's not based on
because I sing the songs from Labyrinth and The Little Mermaid a lot.
It's so awesome.
A lot.
Okay. I know this is a little off topic of what we're doing, but I had an argument with somebody on my Mo crew who said the Tarzan movie score or the soundtrack is the best Disney soundtrack ever. And I was like, no, it's not.
It's The Lion King.
The Lion King. I told him it's The Lion King. He's like, no. And then we talked and we compared it. And I recently listened to the Tarzan, it's like, oh man, It's good because Phil Collins does it. It's so poppy. It's just so poppy that it's like, this is a really good soundtrack, but I can't get over all of their songs really hit in Lion King, like Scar's song hit. I Want to Be a King hit.
I Just Can't Wait to Be King.
Yeah, Can't Wait to Be a King. Can You Feel the Love Tonight? It's like, oh, man.
And then All You Need to Tell Me, anytime you see the sun rising over the savannah, do you go, hi, savannah, little Lisa, Lisa Moore, when you're away.
Do you know that they do the Simba thing at the football games now? Like, they play that and, like, you raise your baby. It's like, what? You can't do that with Tarzan. You can't do that with any other one, but yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I just had to ask about that one. No, this is off, but. At the same time.
No, it's definitely the Lion King.
Yeah, I would always think, like, that run of Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those four movies can compare to any other movie soundtrack or movie musical through all time. Like, there's not, like, you can always say Wizard of Oz, but, like, at the same time, Wizard of Oz, there's only like four songs in it, and do you really think it's better? Like,
yeah, I would add Hercules into that.
Hercules was a good one too. Because, but like, if you did Hercules, you'd have to add Pocahontas, and Pocahontas is no slouch.
I sing the Pocahontas songs a lot too.
Yeah, so it's like you have a really good. Maybe that would probably be the golden age or golden era of
it was the Disney Renaissance.
Yeah, it was awesome. I like that run. That was a great run. Anyways,
so we went off the rails. Sorry, folks.
Yes, sorry, but hopefully it went along with things because I'm scatterbrained. And it was that was just
both of us are.
About. Yeah. All right. Thank you for joining. Please, if you want, leave a comment about how we're doing. A subject that you'd want us to talk about, if that's what you want us to do.
Or your favorite movie, yes. Or your best movie, or both.
Yes, both would be great for it. But thank you for joining us. Leave a comment, like, subscribe. Thank you so much. Peace out.
Goodbye.